Well, thanks everyone for being here today on this celebration Sunday. It was fun to have the ministry meeting before. That seemed like it worked out pretty good to have it before and then to have this now. And then we could all go to lunch at the same time. So thanks for being here, for being a part of this. This is the time when we had planned to go through a ministry brochure that would highlight what went on this last year, and a lot of time has been spent over the last couple of months putting this brochure together. It's similar to the one that you may remember we had last year. Well, it's still at the print shop, so we are not able to go through that, and I apologize for that. It just didn't get done when we sent a staff member over yesterday to pick it up. It was promised to be out on Friday. It wasn't ready. It was promised to be out yesterday by noon, and our staff member went over to pick it up, and it was not done. So I guess it's another way that we're going to save some money as a church. It's unexpected, kind of like the flood, but, you know, we'll take it. We're going to see if we can still get the brochure together and have it available next week. I got a feeling that the deal that we will get is much better than the one that, you know, was forecast, especially since the company knew that it was due today, and we absolutely needed it. So we won't be able to use that this morning, so I'm going to share with you my PDF of that, okay? So this is it right here. Notice it begins with a nice picture that we can all look at together, and then it, you see the font okay? So we'll have that for you next week so that you could see it a little bit clearer than right now. But it really does highlight a number of great things that happened in the church. You already heard there are several baptisms, 22 baptisms. In fact, over there this morning, we have some of the plaques that have the certificate and a picture of some of the ones that were baptized this year. And if you've not yet picked up that gift, this is a gift from us to you as a memory of that incredible moment that you had when you were baptized. So make sure by the end of the service or before you leave today to pick that gift up. But a number of people were baptized. We had 27 new members come into the church. 84 children received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Is that not fantastic? Yeah. And I think that that includes those within our Christian school. So much good is happening there, the choir ministry in so many different ways. We were told that there were four gentlemen that raised their hands at the invitation time with even the closing basketball ceremony that we had, the basketball league. And so there were some people who received Christ this year. We're grateful for what God did in that regard. This was a great leadership year, and if you were here for the ministry meeting, you got to hear a little bit about the ways that God is using our leaders, and we thank the Lord for them, and we're sad to see some of them walk off the board because of the limits, term limits. But anyway, so they've done a great job. A lot of fabulous activities, and I'd be walking through the brochure with you on these right now, but I'll just highlight a couple of things in the brochure. At the couples weekend, actually you saw it on the slides, was wonderful having sharing from our couples within the church. The family fun night again, of course, was fabulous. Now we do ping pong. How about that? On Sunday afternoons, that's been a lot of fun. The beach baptisms, the Palm, which was a ministry service as well. The Palm Sunday picnic, you might have seen a couple of shots up there. And it's pretty neat when we have that because they go over and they invite children and families that are on the playground. They pass out some information to them about our church and invite them over to be a part of the Easter egg hunt that happens out there at Cuesta Park. And so in and of itself, it's really an outreach kind of ministry. There are so many ongoing ministries, whether they be the encouragers. I just keep hearing more and more great things about what God is doing through the encouragers ministry in Kay, and we just rejoice in that. Moms and Beyond this year had a good year. The life groups continue to get going in some new ways, and some new groups have organized. The YoPros continue to influence and impact the church. The AIM ministry, the Adventures in Marriage, is really strong. One of those pictures up there was a whole group of them, and that's fabulous to see that ministry growing. As you saw, we paid off the debt, and boy, are we grateful for that. Thank God. That was a highlight this year. And as we introduced at the ministry meeting before this time this morning, where we are in this, and if you weren't at the meeting, just a simple summary of what's happened is that God has used the flood of 2014, but anyway, the flood here on the campus to get us to reorganize our priorities so that we could end up just doing the repair, but we're going to launch also into a remodel, so it's going to be a combination repair, remodel, and we're shifting our priorities, and we're beginning with the bathrooms. We have the money already to help us be able to do that phase or that priority. So if we could just pop up this slide from the more to come here. We've got about $311,000 left now in the fund after having paid off the debt and the money that's been given and some other matters that we paid for and some mission expenses that we put in on. And so we're going to take this $311,000, we're going to combine it with insurance monies that will be given to us, and this will put us in the neighborhood of being able to pay for the first part, which are the $400,000 mark there on the restrooms. And you can see it up here at the top, the blue kind of area that's boxed in there. The restrooms are going to be actually demolished and then rebuilt. They're going to be larger. They're going to be more in line with our needs and handicap accessible and all the rest of that. And so we're going to begin to move into that, and then, Lord willing, we'll go through the rest of this list. Now, the timing of the rest of the list will depend upon the monies as they come in and the giving, and so we'll be talking more about that as a congregation, but we know immediately we're just going to get right into this project. How long will it take? Tim told us that it could be as long as February just to get going on all of this. So find your chair if you like to sit in the same chair, you know. We're going to be in here sharing together, but actually this is kind of fun. It feels like a church start in some ways, and you know, for me, that's very exciting. So that was a part of our year, and we're going to see where the Lord's going to take us on that. We're looking forward to what's going to come out of it in this next year. This past year, we got up to full steam ahead with the preaching team. I just wanted to mention that this morning, and the work that Steve Duran and David Collister has done in preaching along with myself. Thank God. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. This has been a great year because we've been for almost five years now working toward seeing this team become a reality. And God brought our way David and Steve, and they were up to the number of messages that we had hoped for. We had to do a little furlough on David when they had the baby, but he's back now, and so the baby's doing fine. And I don't know. You guys look pretty good. You look like you're getting sleep now. But you know how this all goes. So it's been a great year. And it's not just the preaching team. There are so many of you involved in leadership and so many of you involved in teaching. In fact, if you're in a leadership or teaching position or a support position to teaching, would you just stand up? We just thank God for all your hours of sacrifice in ministry. Yeah, thank you so much for your part in the church. Praise God. Yeah. We thank God for you. And this was the year that we launched a couple of new ministries. The missional communities got off to a great start. And we're seeing those hopefully go forward and multiply. This was the year we started Fusion. It got off to a good start. We're hoping that that will continue to expand and impact more families and children. So that's wonderful. Another area of ministry that's growing that's highlighted in this brochure that I could show you on the screen, but you couldn't read it, but is the Churchestra. The Churchestra. Have you heard of the Churchestra? Is that how you say that? Did you guys make that name up? I think you did. But anyway, so we've got a Churchestra now in the first hour that's growing and it's thriving. And it's got all these music people. And I'm telling you, you know, 4 years ago, we had like four people in the brass section. And that was the end of it. I don't know if you remember that at all, but we were very small in number, and this whole thing has just changed, and the ministry of music continues to grow. We thank God for all of you that are involved in ministry of music. Praise God for you. Amen? Yeah. Thanks for your hours and sacrifice. Thank you, Steve, that God brought you here for such a time as this. Amen. Yeah. Rob left us this year. We thank God for his ministry, and we had a wonderful transition with all of that. Rob was the one that went out, and the Lord led him to Steve and brought Steve on, and we never had an idea that Steve would, lead us to where we are now and now be a part of the interim transition and all of this. And so there's so much that the Lord knows, and he takes care of us. We had some great special services this year with Good Friday. You remember that? I'm looking at some of our YoPros and others who came along, and you guys made these incredible plaques, and it was this amazing experience. We've never had kind of this self-guided walk through those final hours in the life of Christ, and it was incredible to experience that together on Good Friday. The kids' programs and the children's choir ministries, and those were wonderful again this year. The hymn sing, some of us got to the hymn sing here a couple months ago. That was outstanding. The student ministries continue to move forward. It's had its challenges this year. I mean, we lost again Renee and Jenny. I say again, it seems like, it's hard to just keep youth people around here for a long time. But we regret having lost them. But, Steve Duran stepped right in. We never knew he could be a middle school teacher, and he's done an outstanding job with filling the gap there. And then Ryan Scholl, wherever you are you here somewhere, Ryan? Maybe he's out running around. I don't know. Yeah, Michaela's here. You could take it for him, couldn't you? Yeah, thank God for Ryan and for the student ministries and for what God's doing there. LACS, I noticed Susan was over here somewhere. There you are. Just had an outstanding year. We saw a little bit of it financially in the business meeting, but just another great year. We thank God for Susan and for how she's using the giftedness that God has given to her, the staff that she's put around her. We have now a stronger connection to the school than we had 4 years ago. There are several families now that are connected to the church that were not connected to the church 4 years ago. There's a better whole community spirit that's happening there. And so we're grateful for all of that. The Men's Basketball League, I mentioned, was an outstanding event. The Los Altos Foundation. So all of that is talked about in the brochure. And when we get it next week, Lord willing, we'll be able to look at it and just be able to celebrate that. So all of that's to say it's been a great year. It's been what you would call the kind of year that you pray for, at least from our perspective, it was a great year. But I want to ask a question this morning, just take a couple minutes to think about this. We would say it was a great year, but would the Lord say it was a great year? Would the Lord say that what we are doing right now is a sign of greatness? Would he say this is a great church? Now, that's an interesting question, because oftentimes when we talk about what's a great church, we refer to the ABCs. You familiar with that? The ABCs. And we use the ABCs to define greatness. So A, attendance. Is the attendance growing? B, buildings. Do they have buildings? Do they have property? Are they stewarding their property to its fullest? And C, cash. Is this a church that gives cash? Is this a church that's offering the Lord an offering in a sacrificial way? And oftentimes, is this not true? You've been around, many of you, for churches for a long time. Many times we say that a great church is a church that is growing in attendance, has great property, and is stewarding that property, and is doing well financially with regard to its offerings. In fact, many times those are the three primary measures that you look for. If you go to a pastor's conference, pastors often will say to each other, so, how large your church? And how much is your church giving? It comes up initially, even in conversations. And I just want to ask the question this morning, is that what the Lord would use to determine greatness? Or would perhaps he look at something else? When we get to heaven, let me ask it this way. When we get to heaven, is the Lord going to say, let's go over the ABCs? And let's just see how great Bridges Community Church was. Or would he use other measures? I think it's interesting when you look at the scriptures. For instance, if we go into the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it's all about these churches. And John writes some very important words to these churches, and one of the churches was the church at Laodicea. You may know this passage. He said, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing, cash. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. In other words, this is a cash-rich church, but a spiritually poor church. And John wants them to realize that they are focused on the wrong things. And of course, part of their focus is on, we're okay, we don't really need the Lord. So he gives them this invitation, and sometimes we use this verse out of context, but the proper context of this verse is in the context of writing to professing believers and calling them away from a life of mediocrity to a life of serious commitment. And so John says, Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock, speaking of Jesus. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. What's it describing? It's describing how the Lord has basically been pushed out, and the Lord wants to have an intimate relationship, an intimate fellowship. He wants to be a part of the church at Laodicea, but Laodicea has to be willing to have that kind of a commitment, that kind of a relationship. And what is the relationship that Jesus wants with his church? Red hot. He doesn't want a lukewarm commitment. He doesn't want a cold commitment. He wants a hot commitment so we can represent it with some simple symbols. He wants us to have the kind of commitment that we're looking for when we have a cup of coffee. We don't want it to be lukewarm or cold, unless you intentionally decided that you're going to have iced coffee. We want it to be hot, and the Lord is looking for a hot commitment, not a lukewarm commitment, not like this, you know, coffee pot that's been sitting there for a long time that nobody's has an interest in drinking that coffee. And no, it's not like an ice drink either, a frappuccino or whatever you want to, you know, talk about here at this point. The Lord isn't looking for a cold commitment from us, but he says that's a better commitment than a lukewarm commitment. I don't want the lukewarm or cold commitment. What the Lord is looking for is an all-out commitment. He wants a great commitment out of us. And so John, when he writes to the church at Laodicea, calls the church to a great commitment in their relationship with the Lord. This past year, Mel Lyons died. And Mel was for many, many years a part of our ministry. He was so faithful in so many different ways. And you only had to be around Mel for just a little while to know this guy was on fire for the Lord. Is that not true? And he was on fire for the Lord right up to the last days of his life. He really was. If you ever visited him in the hospital, you'd walk into his room and he'd immediately start talking about the Lord. And then he would talk about how he was witnessing to like everybody in the hospital that he could get his hands on. You know, if whoever walked into the room, that was Mel. He was just so committed to the Lord. And I can't but think, you know, Mel was an example to us of the kind of commitment that the Lord is looking for from his church. Hot, not lukewarm, not cold. And we can ask ourselves, are we that kind of church? And really, it all depends upon whether we as individuals are making that kind of commitment, right? Because the individual commitment ultimately makes up the collective commitment. And what God desires from us is an all-in, not partially in, but an all-in commitment. And it's not just a commitment, but also this commitment is connected to something. It's connected to the great commandment. How great is a church? Well, it depends upon the commitment to the great commandment. What's the great commandment? Well, Jesus said it this way, teacher, Matthew 22, a person came to him and asked, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So what Jesus said is we need to make a two-dimensional commitment to a great commandment. There is the vertical commitment of loving God, and there is the horizontal commitment of loving others. And so it all comes down to our love for God and our love for others. And of course, this requires what? Sacrifice. And so the cross is a perfect symbol to illustrate sacrifice, because sacrifice is what a cross is all about. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, then Jesus to his disciples said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. In what way? Well, deny living for yourself. Start living for God. Present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And be not transformed by this world, be not conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's a commitment of sacrifice in our relationship with God, that we want to worship Him. And then there's the commitment of sacrifice toward each other. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45 says. So this matter of commitment is connected to a commandment. And this commandment is all about loving sacrifice toward God and loving sacrifice toward others. This past year we lost Jarvis Russell. What a godly man he was. I think about Jarvis, and when I think about him, I think about a person who was deeply devoted to God and a person who was deeply devoted to others. In fact, the pictures that we went through, almost every one of the pictures that we found had him doing something like this, because he was just constantly serving. You come over here on the campus, and he would be serving. And you know that in the latter days of his life, that's about how high he was able to stand. He had this bend in his body, and yet that didn't stop him. He just kept right on serving with the kind of commitment toward the commandments that the Lord wants all of us to have. And then, of course, it's not only a commitment to the commandment to love God and love each other, but it's a commitment to the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What's the imperative here? Well, it's to make disciples. And so we've talked about using a triangle to help us remember this. Disciple making is all about three matters. It's all about the participles that are found here. It's all about going. It's all about baptizing. And it's all about teaching. And so the going is something that we are constantly to be doing, where we are going into the world that God has placed us. It could be a neighborhood. It could be a school. It could be a job. It could be with our family. We're to constantly be seeking to save the lost. So there is the going. And then there's the baptizing. And of course, baptizing is all about the matter of conversion, that those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ go public with their faith, and they tell other people about their faith. And so we want to call those who've come to faith in Christ to stand up and tell others about it through the act of baptism. It's a first act of obedience, we would call it. And then there's the matter of teaching, and teaching is all about transformation. So this is all about evangelism, conversion, and transformation. It's not enough that we just hear the word, but as we studied this summer, we've got to be doers of the word. It needs to be applied in our lives and change the way that we live. Is that us? I know one thing, that was Jeannie Stinford. And I think about Jeannie. She passed away this year too. She's now in heaven. When I think about Jeannie, I think about a person who was absolutely committed to disciple making, to going, to baptizing, to teaching. She trained even right up to the last days of her life this large group of students and adults. It's a photo of her in the middle there with the Christian youth in action group that she trained. And she did that her whole life. She was absolutely committed. And some of you are trained by Jeannie. And some of you this summer even ran five-day clubs. But in part, it's because there was a person who had made a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission. She was living out the kind of life that God wants for every one of us. Now, I've mentioned three people that were a vital part of this church before this last year. I mean, they were still a vital part of this church right up to the day that they died. They just kept serving the Lord. But do you hear it? These are three people who made that kind of commitment. And the call is that we would step into their stead and we would continue to make the same kinds of commitments. You might think, you know, well, like, this church doesn't really need me. Are you kidding? We need people to make great commitments to the great commandment and the great commission. How do you know a great church? A great church is filled with people who make a great commitment. Is there room in our lives for an increase in our commitment? Probably so. There's room in my life. There's room, I think, in all of our lives for a greater commitment. Is there room in our life for a greater commitment to the great commandment, to love God more and to love each other more? You know, one of the concerns I have, you just think about this matter of loving God more. One of the concerns I have with the new electronic age and how even we have our Bibles on our phones and all the rest of that. One of the concerns I have is that possibly in having that as our primary Bible, we might not be reading our Bible as much as we used to read it. Because when you have a book, typically, you sit down with it and you underline it and you write notes and it just becomes sort of this thing that prods you along. And that can happen electronically, but I'm a little concerned about whether or not that is happening electronically. Is there room in our lives for a greater commitment to God, even in the study and the reading of His Word? Is there room in our lives for a greater commitment to serve? Some of us may be still sitting on the bench. And you know what? The Lord wants you off the bench just like He got Mel and just like He got Jarvis and just like Jeannie was off the bench. He wants you off the bench. And He wants me off the bench. And He wants us to make a greater commitment to the Great Commission, to be more intentional in our missional living. So how is all that going to play out this next year? Well, we're just going to continue to stir up and train toward those kinds of commitments. We're going to, Lord willing, do a thematic study this year in the book of Acts. So we're going to come out of the book of James, and we're going to jump into the book of Acts. We're going to start a series next week called The Ripple Effect. And we're going to give you in the next 3 weeks an entire overview of the book of Acts so that you've got kind of the clear picture of what's going on in Acts. And then we're going to come back and we're going to study it thematically. That means we're going to do verses, but our concern is more to capture the gist of what's the flow of the entire book. And so we'll be moving from the ripple effect into a series that we're going to call Community in 3D. Just all about community. Why? Because we as leadership believe we got to do more to build community in our church. And so we're looking at ways that we can do that, whether through Fusion and the startup of Fusion and a whole new year there, or having some combined worship experiences like this. We've got four of these worship services planned in the year ahead. We're looking at ways that we can ramp up intercultural diversity. And so that's going to be on the front burner for us this year. We're looking at ways that we can help each other with missional community. You've heard about missional community. What's that all about? We're going to talk about that mostly when we do this series called Community in 3D. But it's really all about stirring up one another to keep on the front burner evangelism. Because if most of us are like most of us, evangelism tends to just sort of take the back seat, doesn't it? It tends to get pushed to the back seat. And the missional communities are a way to help us keep this as a priority in our life. Because, listen, We can't make disciples if we're not doing evangelism. We say, well, I'll just do the teaching part of this. No. Wait a minute. It doesn't like segment that way. There's the front half, and that's why I like the triangle with a couple of wheels on it that's moving. There's the front half of this, and the front half of evangelism is focused on going out. It's focused on the outreach portion. And then the back half is focused on the inreach part. It's both coming together. And so this year we're going to have a major focus on making disciples, and Acts is going to help us get to that focus. We're going to get to chapter 7. We're going to spend 3 months together working on some chapter 7 and following, where we as an entire church are going to collectively just focus on the same thing in the worship services, in the life groups, in the student ministries, in the children's ministries. We're going to do all of that to see if that will help us as a church begin to build even more community and also become better disciple makers than we are right now. And then, of course, on top of all of that, the Lord has orchestrated this remodel over in the sanctuary, and we're very excited to see where all of that will go and the participation and prayer that we can have in that. So what have I just said? We hope that through the ministry focus areas we're going to have this year, it will elevate commitment, it will strengthen community, it will prioritize evangelism with the intentionality of disciple making, and we will even improve our facilities. And then would God say, well, Bridges Community Church, that's a great church. That's a great church. I don't know if the Lord would say that or not. I think in some measure, yes, He would say that. Would He say that there's room for improvement here? Yes. And my hope and my prayer for you, and hopefully collectively together as a congregation, is that when we move our way through this year, there's going to be a greater love for God, and there will be a greater love for each other, and there will be a greater love for helping those who are outside of Christ's family come to salvation in Jesus Christ, and helping them grow up in Him. And I think if all of that comes together, then we would say, this is a great year. Will you join us in that? My prayer is that you will say, yeah, that's what I want to be a part of. That's what I'm going to pray for this year. And let's collectively together as a congregation just see what God will do. And who knows, maybe next year, we'll be talking about 100 people that were baptized. And we'll be talking about 100 people that came to faith in Jesus Christ. And we were talking about 100 people that became members of this church. And you say, well, Dave, didn't you just come back to the ABCs? Well, not as the primary indication of greatness, no. That's the fruit. That's potentially the fruit of getting the priorities right. If God so chooses to bless that way, that's great. Our focus isn't on that. Our focus is on making a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thanks for this time to talk about that as a family, and thank you for this time of celebration and reflection and for all that you have done that we could give thanks for. And thank you, Lord, just for a moment, just to stop and for us to be able to think about the part that you want us to play, how you've designed us to have this relationship with you, for all people to have a relationship with you, and how we have the privilege of not only having the relationship and helping others have it, but to grow in that relationship. And so we pray that there will be steps taken even today that will push us down the road in this commitment and inviting you into our lives if we've never done that, and in growing in our commitment to you. Thank you for the commitment that you have made to us. Thank you for your love for us, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, that even today, if a person here was to say yes to this life, you would give it to them. And if you've never received that gift, receive it even today. Ask God to save you. And Lord, thank you that as we come into this relationship with you, you don't abandon us, but you fellowship with us and you transform us. And so even as we continue to worship you now, may it be an expression of hearts that long to make a greater commitment to what's of priority to you as we go in our relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're going to continue to worship God together this morning as a part of the celebration. We're going to have communion now. And so we're going to ask our servers to prepare to serve us the communion. Communion is a reminder of God's love and His grace. It's a reminder of what our Heavenly Father did for us when He sent His only begotten Son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. As we have heard this morning, Jesus came with the intention of sacrificing His life so that we might have life. And when we have communion, it just reminds us of the life that we found in Jesus Christ. And so when we take the bread, it reminds us of His body that was crucified, that was sacrificed. When we take the cup, it reminds us of His blood, that He died on the cross, and the blood reminds us of our sin and our need for atonement, forgiveness for our sins. And we find that forgiveness in Jesus, in His blood, in His death on the cross. And when a person receives the life that Christ has given, the Lamb of God takes away our sins. He removes our sins so that there's no longer a separation between us and God by our sin. But that separation is canceled and it's covered in Jesus Christ. And so we have much to give thanks for. So as we take this communion this morning, let's be reminded of that and prepare your heart. Pray. I'm going to come back up and take the bread and the cup and just hold them. And I will come back up and then we will participate together in the taking of communion. Let's have our servers come.
Let's pray together.
Father, thank you for a time like this where we can stop and we can again reflect on where life is found, and the life that you long for us to live is connected to you. It's found in you. And we thank you, Lord, for coming to die for us. Thank you that you willingly went to the cross, as hard as it was, to give your life so that we might have life. Pray that we would in no way squander this life that you've given us, and that our levels of commitment would bring honor to you, and there would never be a day where you would want to spit us out of your mouth because of apathy or lukewarmness. May we live with the fervency that is appropriate to the person that you are. And so thank you for this visible reminder today. And we want to eat this bread and drink this cup in a worthy manner, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Scripture says, "In the same way he took a cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And I'm telling you, with what's going on in the world, it just seems like he could come at any time, doesn't it? Amen. We want to live all out to his honor and glory. Well, we're going to end our service with a couple songs. And these songs may be somewhat familiar to you, and they're also prayers. And so as you contemplate the words, as you sing the words, think about what it is that you're singing and direct them toward God. These are prayers toward him. And you may even want to just close your eyes and just offer this as you would a prayer to the Lord. Allow this to be a fresh, new experience of singing these words to him in a way that brings pleasure to his name. So let's stand together as we sing with our hearts to the Lord.